Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming out today for our Black History Month celebration. Without further ado, your Illinois State Comptroller, Susana Mendoza.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Y'all excited to be here?
Yeah.
I love it. This is going to be a fun, fun day. Well, I want to just welcome all of you to our Black History Month celebration. Thank you to those of you who made the trip here to come celebrate our honorees. I want to start by recognizing, of course, I think this is very important, the loss of one of our greats, the Reverend Jesse Jackson. His courageous fight for civil rights, his devotion to lifting others up, and strong moral voice will long be remembered. I truly offer my most sincerest condolences to his family and ask that everyone continue to lift him up in prayer. I will just tell you that over the many years of my public service, those are just a fraction. It's like a sparkle, a moment of time compared to the dedication and the life of service that Reverend Jesse Jackson gave for all of us. And his was a legendary, iconic-like status that is not just revered here in Chicago, which we call his hometown, but across the country, and I would say across the world. You know, I think about when I was a very young legislator, him going to negotiate the release of hostages across the oceans, right? I mean, he partnered with Nelson Mandela. He marched with Martin Luther King. But he always remembered where he was from and the city that he loved the most, which is the one that we're standing in today, Chicago. His work with Operation Push, which had a footprint across America, was transformative for so many people, so many youth, so many families. And he fought for everyone, not just some of us, but all of us. I will always remember the marches that we had together, arm in arm, here in Chicago, but also respect the many, many more that he had fighting for civil rights, for human rights, for dignity, equality, for everyone. Again, not just in Illinois, but across the country. His is one of those unique names, right, that like people will remember forever. He will not just be in the book of life, but in the history books for all of our kids to learn from for generations to come. So the last thing I'll say is that I had the distinct pleasure of getting to visit with Reverend Jackson probably 2 or 3 weeks ago in his home. And I had the opportunity to thank him, not knowing that that would be the last time that I would see him, but especially honoring that moment between us as he squeezed my hand and I was getting ready to leave and he squeezed it, so I stayed a little longer. And it was a memory and really a blessing for me that I'll have and be able to take with me and speak to my child about as he gets older as well and learns about who these icons in the Black community were. But as I would say, you know, his contributions go far beyond his contributions to the Black community. They're for all of us. So I would ask if we could just take a moment of silence in memory and honor of Reverend Jackson. Thank you, Reverend Jackson, and may you rest in God's peace and heavenly glory. Okay, now for our celebration. This year is an extra special one because it's the 100th anniversary of special commemorations of Black history in the United States. What began as just a week in 1926 expanded to a full month in 1976. February was chosen because two leaders in the fight to end slavery were born this month. Frederick Douglass and President Abraham Lincoln. You know, and I often joke around, I think a lot of people do, about how it doesn't seem fair that Black History Month is in the shortest month of the year. Am I right?
Right.
Doesn't seem right. But there's a good reason for it, because these two iconic figures were born in that month, and it makes a lot of sense that that would be a month in which we'd celebrate their contributions as well. Frederick Douglass and, of course, President Abraham Lincoln. Their legacies continue to inspire all of us today. Our four honorees stand as a testament to that, with the extraordinary work that you do and the lives of the people that you touch every day. It is leaders like you that make us all want to do our part, speak out against injustice, help the less fortunate, and inspire the next generation. As Black Americans, you face certain biases, misconceptions, and challenges. They can range from obvious prejudice to subtle slights, you know, things like being slighted at school, work, even social situations. Others may not notice, but you certainly do. That's why it's up to all of us to call out discrimination and fight for equity, something many of you have been doing your whole lives. Thank you for that. We're here today to honor four trailblazers who have made their mark in their towns and in Illinois. I'd like to tell you a little bit about each one of them, then have you come up and get your certificate, and we'll also take a photo, and then I'm gonna have you say a few words, okay? Those are the rules. I'm gonna mention you, we'll come. We're gonna take a photo just for housekeeping purposes. Eric's a photographer. Would you like us over here or in front of the flags, Eric?
Let's do it like right in here.
Okay, I'm modeling.
So right, you guys, you turn toward me, and then
you see the
give
flags
the TV
in the
cameras.
Background?
Yes, okay. One thing. So turn right here, and then turn right here for a couple of seconds.
We're looking
guys,
diagonally, then, yeah. Got it. Okay, very good. So first up, let's start with Nishone Greer Adams. Yes, from Little Angels Learning Center. Yes, she's the founder. Look at that. Yeah. So Nishone Greer Adams is a proud native of the South Side of Chicago and a product of Chicago Public Schools. She's a dedicated professional in the field of early childhood education with more than 32 years experience as an educator and advocate for educational reform. Her commitment to cultivating the minds of young learners from birth to the age of 6 has been a lifelong passion shaped by growing up in a family of educators. It's in her DNA. Yes. From an early age, she knew that early childhood education was not just her passion, but her calling. Nishone began her academic journey at the National College of Education, where she majored in early childhood education. She served as a paraprofessional at Chicago Public Schools Haynes Elementary School, providing classroom support for teachers while fostering nurturing relationships among students, parents, and educators to support children's learning. She later continued her education at the Erickson Institute, focusing on infant and toddler development. In 1993, she founded Little Angels Family Daycare, which is one classroom in the historic Woodlawn community. Yeah. And today, Little Angels serves more than 50 children annually in a 15,000 square foot multi-level learning center with 10 classrooms, offering high quality early childhood education. Her focus isn't just on the kids though. But let me just say, this started so small, one classroom, and now 10 classrooms, 50 children annually, 15,000 square foot facility. That was her vision, her dream come to life, and you're just getting started. So now, directly across the street, Nishone launched an 8-bedroom teacher housing apprenticeship program designed to develop and retain quality educators and strengthen the workforce supporting children and families. Through these efforts, Little Angels is helping to build a better Chicago, one learner and one educator at a time. Because of Nishone's hard work, Little Angels Learning Center has been awarded the Gold Circle of Quality by Accelerate Illinois for 12 years in a row. You got 12, you got to go for the dirty dozen. That's 13, yes. And despite operating one of Chicago's most financially deprived and underserved communities, the organization has successfully addressed the challenges of inner city education. This success stems from a deep understanding of the families served and the impacts of trauma, toxic stress, and adverse childhood experiences. Nishone isn't just focused on classroom time. She established the nonprofit organization Something Good in Englewood in 2018. That's right, you go girl. Something Good provides direct services that promote positive outcomes for children and youth through after-school programming. In both 2018 and again in 2025, Little Angels Learning Center and Something Good received mayoral proclamations recognizing their impact and success. It's all about giving back for Nishone, who volunteers with numerous charitable organizations focused on children and also seniors. She's a member of the Heart and Vascular Patient Care and Trauma Advisory Board at the University of Chicago. Through all her work, Nishone is building a lasting legacy of faith, service, and educational excellence, empowering children, families, and educators while strengthening communities for generations to come. Outside of her professional work, do you have any time? She does a little bit, because what fills her heart most are the precious moments that she gets to spend with her husband and their three adult children. Now, Nishon, you have done such a wonderful job of making sure that we have those little angels ready to go, get a great start in life. But I want you to know that you're our big angel. So come on up here, and we'd love to hear more about your work. We'll take a picture. Come on up, our big angel, Nishon. Round of applause. Over here, follow me.
To you?
Yes. We're going to take this picture. Everybody get around us?
Yes.
Like flank us here? So you don't hide. You don't hide. You got to show this pretty face. Okay, turn that way a little bit. And then you're going to put this down. Okay. Look at the camera first. Hi.
Camera first.
You good? Okay. And then look over there.
Good morning. Thankful Thursday. This is truly an honor, an incredible honor, and in the Black History Month to celebrate us as well. It's just an honor, and we're just humbly
just
grateful
talk to the mic,
for this
looking at you.
Opportunity.
But
I wanted to have our entire team here because I would not be where we are today without the entire village of the team. The team here, we've been together for a little more than some of us, 20 years, 25 and 30 years. The work that we do comes with so many complexities, serving families and children, being a part of stabilizing our community through early childhood programming, and it takes an entire village to do so. And that's why it's an honor to have the team here, because our entire journey, we've been together providing wraparound services. It's an honor to receive this award with our youth that are here with us today as well, too, that have been with us. Many of them have been with us since birth. Our camera gentleman over here, Mr. Rahman. And again, this is our very first state award. This is our first award, actually, as a whole. We are usually always inside our silo doing our great work, which is what we do best. But again, we thank you, Controller Mendoza, because not only is it just an award, but you came out to our facility to see what we were doing, what we were about. So it's not just about the award, it's your presence as well. The state of Illinois has blessed us in so many ways with part of our capital to build our new facility as well. So we've just received support from our city, just from city level and state level. So we're only able to do this work with the support with our partners, and it's just an honor of a blessing. And we're just thankful for this opportunity, thankful that our youth could see things in real time as well too. Thank them for allowing us to serve them, be a part of their journeys. We know that we're building our future generation and our leaders, but to actually in real time for them to be here and then for us to be together, it's just a moment that will be a lasting experience for us. So we just are thankful. I'm not a big talker, so thank you. And we have another meeting set up for tomorrow. Controller Mendoza is coming to our school to actually meet with our youth. We have at this time 18 of our youth that are college bound. We have some that are Morehouse that are graduating. We have some Spelman graduates in here. We have Japan. We have one that's going to study abroad. So we have a long legacy of scholars. That's what we do at Little Angels. Our kids are a part of the City of Chicago's Gifted and Selective Enrollment Schools. And Controller is coming out tomorrow to have a roundtable discussion with them as they're talking and planning their future, and just for you to show your presence. It's just beyond care. So it's going to be an honor of a blessing of an opportunity.
It's my pleasure. Yes. No, thank you so much. Big round of applause for this show. Yeah. I will just tell you, after that visit, there's no way I wasn't going to honor you for the work that you and your team are doing. And so thank you to all of the team. I had, you know, whenever you get to visit an early childhood development center, that is your best day. It's always your best day. If you're having a bad day, as a matter of fact, you should hope that you could go someplace where there's little kids. Little kids who are just starting out, who everything they see, it could be the first time they're seeing it or getting to play with it, and the level of just excitement and wonder and just joy, right, is overwhelming. And they're sassy. I'm just going to say it. They are very sassy. You remember? Yeah, they were so cute. So anyway, my whole team and I left very inspired, and it was clear that those kids were really happy. They were really learning important things at such a young little age. But you remember that chart on nutrition? Yes, I know. I was paying attention. So anyway, I'm very, very happy with the work you're doing, and thank you, because you are, in fact, feeding both the bodies but also the minds and the souls of these kids who are going to be the next generation of leaders that our city so desperately needs. So thank you. Thank you for that. Okay, our next honoree, we're moving on, is Norman P. Fleming, founder and president of the Sphinx Club. So Norman Fleming has over 25 years of global experience in implementing innovative technology to drive growth across various industries. He's also a lifelong learner and passionate about emerging technologies, as am I, Norman. That's why I picked you. Yes. Norman is the founder and president of the Sphinx Club, which aims to provide upscale events to minority professionals. He's also the author of Make America Hope Again, which details race issues that companies may encounter in recruiting and recruiting people of color. And he is the founder and president of Fleming Consulting. Additionally, he's had a hand in so many areas and projects, taking on leadership roles and expertly guiding staff. These roles include Chief Information Technology Officer for Chicago Public Schools, Vice President of Global Business Transformation at McCormick & Co., Senior Director of Enterprise IT Project and Portfolio Management at Aon Service Corporation, Senior Director of Enterprise Business Solutions at Molson Coors Beverage Co. That's cool, too. Yeah, everyone thinks that. Senior Director of IT Client Relationship Management at Astellas Pharma, Director of Client Services at the New York Times Company, and various leadership positions at the Chicago Tribune Company. Norman is also committed to furthering his education as a lifelong learner. He received an executive program certificate from Harvard Business School in July 2024 and completed the executive leadership program at Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University in 2023. These are two of the top educational institutions, not just in the country, but in the world. He received his Bachelor of Science degree in management from Southern Illinois University at Carbondale. It was the party school, but not when he went. Yeah. And graduated with distinction by earning a Master of Business Administration and Information Systems from DeVry University. Sorry about that. Norman grew up in Chicago Heights, but has also lived in New York City, Philadelphia, and Baltimore, and currently resides right here in the greatest city in the world, Chicago, Illinois. Yes. Please come up, Norman, for a photo and to tell us a little bit more about yourself. We are so happy to get to honor you today. Thank you. You're going to share some words of wisdom.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay,
so
here
much.
You go. No, like,
thank you.
Lean it down a little bit so it doesn't reflect.
I think my fraternity brothers can come up here, please. Alpha's in the house. You know how we do it. You know, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, founded December 4th, 1906, at Cornell University, Ithaca, New York. And these are proud members. As you can tell, two are twins, Ashton and Ryan Clark, and Daniel Taylor. It's not so much about me, it's about who we pull up.
That's right.
Ashton and Ryan Clark are the co-founders of Ticket Falcon, which is the largest black ticket management firm in the United States.
That's awesome.
Danny is a model as what all fathers should be, committed to his family, to his four kids. This brother is always doing everything you can imagine, to ensure his sons and daughter are raised the right way. As we celebrate Black History Month in Chicago, we honor a legacy that is deeply woven into the fabric of this city. Chicago's Black history is a story of migration, resilience, innovation, and leadership that has shaped not only our neighborhoods, but the cultural, educational, and economic identity of this entire nation. This month is more than remembrance, it is a commitment to D&I, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And yes, I said D&I. D&I is a power. It is our vehicle for success. This is not what limits our capabilities. It harnesses our capabilities. In a city as diverse and dynamic as Chicago, honoring Black history means supporting Black and Brown innovation, leadership, and futures. My mother is from Belize, Central America. I grew up mixed, two races. My father's from Jackson, Mississippi. Growing up, when I was growing up, I didn't know what I was.
You're cool.
I was proud. I was cool. I was cool. But when I think about what's happening today and how my mother may have been treated, we have to change this. Mm-hmm. She is a U.S. citizen, a Belizean citizen, and she served the Navy as a veteran. From the Great Migration to the rise of Bronzeville as a culture and intellectual hub, Chicago has been home to visionaries who transform art, education, civil rights, and public service. Leaders like Ida B. Wells, John H. Johnson, who grew up with Ebony, Jet Magazine. I couldn't wait to read those magazines. And by the way, he was a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. Our first Black mayor, Harold Washington. Then we have the best president in the history of this country, woo-hoo, President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama. And please provide a moment of silence for our civil rights godfather, Reverend Jesse Jackson, Sr. Please repeat after me. I am somebody.
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 Keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive.
And I would like to present Comptroller Mendoza my book, Make America Hope Again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I can't wait to read it. Okay. Okay, our third honoree today is Reverend Dr. Donovan Price, founder of Solutions and Resources. Reverend Price is a Chicago native, pastor, activist, and internationally recognized victims advocate. As the founder of Solutions and Resources, he's a trusted presence on the front lines of violence prevention, crisis response, and community healing in his hometown. He's known for his tireless advocacy against gun violence and provides compassionate, hands-on support to victims and their families, often arriving at the scene of tragedies to offer prayer, comfort, and practical assistance. And can you imagine? Constantly rushing to the side of the victims, witnessing horrifying scenes, and being there in people's most vulnerable time of need. That is such a strong commitment to the city and to humanity. Solutions and Resources offers a victim assistance program focusing on providing support for physical, psychological, and emotional trauma. There's also a counseling program and support for families as they go through the investigative and court process. The Reverend combines faith, empathy, and action to bring hope to communities in distress. His mission is rooted in service and the unwavering belief that every life has value and purpose. His work has been recognized around the world, reflecting a deep and enduring commitment to justice, healing, and empowerment. Reverend Price also served as the executive director of Pray Chicago Youth Edition, which is a Chicago-based ministry that brings together pastors, youth leaders, and community members to pray for peace and healing in neighborhoods affected by violence. Reverend Price is a gem in the city of Chicago. First of all, every city could only be blessed to have someone like him doing the work behind the scenes, not when the cameras are on, more importantly, when they're off. But we are the lucky city that has him as a place that he calls home. I've been really blessed to get to know Reverend Price and to get to see his passion and feel his spirit for helping others. Like I said, I can't imagine what it would be like to be a mother who loses a child to gun violence, or to be a child who loses a parent to gun violence. But he knows it because he lives it all the time. If the phone rings at 2 a.m, or he's got the scanner on 24/7, I don't know when this guy sleeps, but I'm gonna ask you all to pray for him, because I don't know, you probably don't want me to share your business, but I'm going to. I didn't think he was going to be here today, because while we honored Reverend Price on Monday, I got a call that he was in the hospital and that he had two blood clots in his lungs. It's a miracle that he's here right now with us. But obviously he needs to take better care of himself, because he's been too busy caring for everyone else. So it's our time now to lift him up in prayer, because I do believe in the power of prayer, Reverend. I do. I'm not just saying that because you're a reverend. I truly believe it. And he needs our prayers now, because we do appreciate the work that you do comforting families in their darkest, most horrific moment. And you do it all not for the show, not for the thank yous. You do it because it's in your heart to answer that calling that God has given you to be there for those families in their darkest moments. So thank you for that. I will thank you on behalf of every family that you've ever helped, that in the moment was just so caught up in their grief that they might not even had the opportunity to do that. And I'm going to thank you for every victim whose family you helped that didn't have the opportunity to tell you thank you. But that is really important, because you're not just helping the families, you're helping the victims know that their families are going to be okay with your help and your counsel and your prayers. So I can't thank you enough. I'm a huge fan. That's why we honored you. But I want to be able to continue to honor you and thank you all the time, which means that you need to take care of yourself. And you need to follow those doctor's instructions. And you do whatever you need to do to be around a long, long time, because this city needs you, our state needs you, and there's so many other families who unfortunately are going to have to need you when their dark moment comes and your help to get through it. So thank you, Pastor. Please come on up to be recognized. Are you sure you can talk? He's like, I'm a pastor. I can always talk.
I'm a pastor. I can always
talk. See? Let's take a picture first. Here's for that camera right there. Okay. Right here. Okay. I'll hold this while you do your thing.
Amen. Thank you all for your prayers, past, present, and future. One moment. I am moving a little slow today, as she said. Sunday I went to the urgent care because I had a cough. I had taken my blood sugar. It was 275 at home. When I got to the urgent care, it was 461. The urgent care doctor called the ambulance. When the ambulance got there, my blood sugar was 535. They rushed me to the hospital at Christ Hospital, and they got the blood sugar to move 20 points, and they were happy. And so then they came back and kept checking on me, and all of a sudden I couldn't breathe, and my chest was in pain, and they took me into the CAT scan, and that's when they found out I had a large blood clot in each lung, one of which was putting pressure on the heart, and I had to have, the doctor said my heart had to been pushing through a wall for the past 4 months. And so I am a living testimony. And this is a special week. I really wanted God to heal me to the point that they released me, because this week just kept getting more and more special. And not only did I receive this wonderful award, but the fact of the matter is I was last year, about a year and a half actually, when Reverend Jesse Jackson announced his retirement, with that retirement, they announced the Reverend Jesse Jackson Legacy Award. And I was the first recipient of the Jesse Jackson Legacy Award. And so to come here this week is very important, a very special week, a very important week. And I think it's important that everybody remember who Jesse Jackson was. The time for leaders of that level and history makers seems like it's hard to find. But the fact is, there's still some marches to march and some people to learn and grow. And unfortunately, there are going to be some balconies to stand on. But the fact of the matter is, we can all do it. I wrote a couple of words, and I'll be short. Unless you don't say amen, and then you have to realize I ain't got nothing to do to Sunday. Madam Comptroller, distinguished guests, beloved brothers and sisters, I receive this recognition with gratitude, because when you are called, you do not wake up wondering if you will serve. You wake up knowing you must. I stand here during Black History Month conscious, deeply conscious, that I do not stand alone. I stand in the shadow of giants. I stand in the shadow of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who dared to dream when America could not see. I stand in the thunderous echoes of Reverend Justin Jackson Sr., who declared to a broken generation, I am somebody. I stand on the shoulders that have been scarred by slavery, strengthened by struggle, sanctified by survival. And yet the shadows do not intimidate me. The shadows instruct me, but we who are called, we don't get to look around and see who moves first. We don't get to wait for safety. We don't get to wait for applause, because here am I is already written on our hearts. It's called to the sirens, call to the children of God. When the rest of the world locks its doors, we are called not for comfort, but for commitment. Not for titles, but for transformation. And if you ever stood in a parking lot in the valley of the shadow of death, then you ever prayed over yellow tape and red tape, if you ever wiped the tears with your hoodie from a mother who did not get to say goodbye, then you understand this is not work. This is warfare. This is not charity. This is calling. The Bible says we are called to the edification of the kingdom, for the building up of our beloved community, for the lifting of those bent by history and broken by systems. So today I accept this recognition, not as a crown, but as confirmation. Confirmation that God still calls, faith still moves. Confirmation that hope is not a slogan, it's a strategy. And to every young person watching, to every servant feeling tired and sick, to every believing believer who wondering if it's worth it, if you are called, answer it. Answer when it's dark, answer when it's dangerous, answer when it costs you something, because we who are called don't get to shrink. We don't get to surrender. We don't get to stand still. We rise, we build, we pray, we serve until justice rolls down, until peace stands up, until the beloved community is not a dream but a reality. And when history asks who showed up, let it say, but we who were called, we answered. God bless you, and let's get back to work.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you so much.
And I'm taking donations for the parking.
I didn't see him in here. Where is it? Oh, okay. Okay, and yes, please lift Pastor Price up in prayer, okay? But you also have to do your part because, you know, that parable about God sending the boat and the helicopter and all that, he sent you an ambulance and a doctor.
Right.
Now you have to listen. Okay, he's calling on you to take care of yourself now and to listen to, you know, he sent you the what you need.
Yeah.
Okay, and now we're gonna send you prayers. I'm like the sister with my brother, telling him, yeah, take care of yourself. Yes, that's right. Okay. Lastly, he's not here unfortunately, but we'd like to recognize Sherman Dilla Thomas, who couldn't be with us today. He is truly amazing. He's an Emmy Award winning Chicago historian, culture worker, and brand ambassador. Dilla went viral on TikTok and is now a major Chicago influencer, activist, and he is, of course, a social media sensation. He's really used his gift of storytelling to promote the city's value to the world, and we'll be sending him a video to honor his work. I'm going to be meeting with him shortly as well. It was impossible for him to get here today. But I can just tell you that this guy, did everybody know who he is?
Yes.
He really is like the coolest person. And more importantly, it's so amazingly impressive, his brain power for knowing every single factoid about the history of this city, of every block, of every leader, of people that we've never heard of. He knows it, and he knows it, but he loves to tell it. I can't think of like a better ambassador, honestly, for the city and its rich history, and certainly during Black History Month, than Dilla himself, who I'm sure one day will be in the history books himself. So anyway, when you see him around, you know, give him a thumbs up or a high five or whatever. Just tell him good job. But we'll be seeing a lot more of Dilla, I'm sure, in the future, as we will of the great work of our honorees today. So all of these honorees represent the very best of Black History Month. They should absolutely be celebrated, not just this month, but every month. We get to celebrate today their accomplishments, their entrepreneurship, their community work, the drive that they have every day to make people's lives better. And we get to say thank you today. Thank you today. Thank you always. Because the drive that you all possess inspires each and every one of us to step up our game as well. So thank you for that. Now, you serve as wonderful examples of how far the Black community has come and how much more can be done. Right here, we're talking about the folks that we're honoring today. Someday, some of you will be sitting in chairs like these, being honored for the work that you are doing and have done. And I hope that you remember that those who opened the door for you and helped pull you up are absolutely worthy of your memories, your appreciation, and your success. Right? Because what they do today is so critical to allowing you an easier path forward in helping create that easier path for the person behind you, right? That's what true leadership is all about. I mean, Norman, I thought what you talked about with your young men and how proud you were, how you had just exuded that. And I'm sure that it felt really great to have a titan like Norman here talk about how proud he is of the work that you gentlemen are doing and what that means for your kids, your four kids, right? What they're going to see in their father and be like, I can do that. My dad did that, and I got to step up my game and do even better than my dad, because every kid wants to surpass their father in greatness, right? We all want to believe our dads are the best. And the goal for any father is, of course, that their son or their daughter could someday try to be that, what their mother or their father were, but better, even better. I hope my son, he number one wants to be taller than his dad. That's his goal in life right now. He's 13. He's already taller than mommy. He's on his way. But we, of course, expect much greater goals from him. And part of achieving that is setting the example and helping him find his way in life as well. So Norman, you're doing that for these young men. Nishon, like what you've done for your little angels who are now big angels, and these youth that I'll be meeting with tomorrow that I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. But all of you have a role to play in making our city and our state better, making your families better, your block better. Even if you just help one person every day, the world becomes better, and it's totally doable. And guess what? It feels good, too. So I want to just say thank you again and ask you all to enjoy some cupcakes from a wonderful Black-owned bakery. It's called Brown Sugar Bakery, of course. You all know it because it's awesome. And we're going to go up to 10. Is that right? So meet us up on the 10th floor. We're going to have some really yummy goods. Pastor Price, God doesn't want you to eat one today, okay? Because your blood sugar is way too high right now, my friend. So I have some water and some like prayers for you, okay? Those cupcakes are going to stink. You don't want one. Trust me. Okay. Anyway, that's a wrap. What I'm going to do is offer up an opportunity to take photos for any of our honorees here by the flags. They'll look very nice and official. And then also with the honorees and their guests. And then we'll move up to 10 when we're done with our photos. Anyone who wants to take a photo with our honorees, now's the time to do that, please. And then when we're done or whenever you're ready, head on up to the 10th floor for those baked goods and hide them from Pastor Price. Okay, very good. Come on up.